Starting now.
All right, this is Robert Greenman. It is March 15th, 2010, and I am interviewing Ms. Dolores Brody at Lucy Addison Middle School. All right, Ms. Brody, thank you for being with us. My first question is, where and when were you born?
I was born in Roanoke, July 20th, 1931.
And approximately how long have you lived in Roanoke?
All my life. Well,
approximately a lot of history up through here.
Yes.
What streets and neighborhoods did you live in growing up?
I lived in the area. It was called the Gainsborough area. I lived on McDowell Avenue, Northwest.
Was that near Henry Street at all?
Henry Street was about, Gainsborough area is near Henry Street.
Okay.
I guess about four or five blocks, and we would run into Henry Street.
All right. Tell me about your parents and brothers and sisters. Did they have extended family members living nearby?
I lived with my mother and father, and I had one sister, and I had a brother who lived in West Virginia until his senior year in high school, and then he came to Roanoke and went to Lucy Addison High School.
Oh, okay. Did you go to Lucy Addison?
I did. I certainly did.
Very nice. Can you please describe your house for us? For instance, was it brick, or did you have a garden?
My house was four rooms, just a frame, a little frame house, not a lot of fancy furniture or anything like that. We didn't even have sidewalks, the cement sidewalks,
mm-hmm.
But there was love in the house, and my mother loved flowers. And we had lots. Her favorite flower was her favorite flowers were pansies and nasturtiums, and she planted those flowers every spring. And we just looked forward to those pretty little pansies popping up out of the ground. No lawn to cut, trim, or anything like that.
Oh, nice. What kind of activities did you participate in around the house, around the neighborhood?
Well, around the house, we had assigned chores to do, like washing the dishes, making the bed, dusting and cleaning, the usual things for housekeeping. We didn't do much cooking. We didn't do much washing and ironing. As we got older, we did the ironing. Mama took care of the washing and the ironing and the cooking. As far as activities outside of the school activities, we went to the YWCA. I went to the YWCA. There was a girls' club. I don't even remember the exact name of the girls' club. But we did a little community work, and we did crafts and things of that sort. Not much. I didn't do it. We went to church, and the church that I attended was a Methodist church, and we had a youth group there, and we did mostly learning about the Bible and the Ten Commandments and those kinds of things. I think my first major activity outside of school, home, and church was the junior prom that I attended.
Hmm.
And we decorated the gym at the school ourselves. We had a theme. Please don't ask me to name the theme.
Okay.
but we had a theme, and we did our own decorating. And we had to cut the paper strips. You know how you buy them now?
Mm-hmm.
We cut them on a paper cutter. And I do remember one incident about that particular prom. Schools exchanged choirs in competition, and a choir from the Tidewater was coming up for competition at that time. And as we were cutting the paper, somebody said, "They are here." And I think I got so excited when I heard, "They are here," caught my finger under the paper cutter. And that was, that kind of put a little damper on things, but they took care of it in the nurse's station, and we went right on with the activity of decorating.
Wow. What kind of work did your family do?
My dad worked for Norfolk and Western. He was a car cleaner. They didn't provide African Americans at that time did the menial jobs, the labor jobs, and he cleaned the cars. That was his job. My mom did not work outside of the house until I was in high school, and she substituted in the school cafeterias cooking.
Did you ever have an after-school job or anything like that growing up?
Not during my high school days, I didn't. Okay. My job was to hit the books and make good grades and plan on doing something with my life.
Okay. We're going to talk a little bit about your school life. You said you attended Lucy Addison.
Yes.
Did you walk to school or did you take the bus?
Walked to school. Rain, snow, sleet, or shine, we went to school.
No snow days back then.
No snow days. No too hot days. Nothing like that. We went to school every day.
So I guess you never allowed to stay home from school, just the...
Only if we had severe illnesses. Not a little cough. But if we had, childhood diseases that I remember, I had measles. Didn't have mumps until I was an adult. When my daughter had mumps, then I had mumps. We had measles. We had chicken pox. And maybe if we had a really, really bad cold. But I don't even remember missing school a lot because of illnesses.
Okay. How much schooling did you complete? Obviously, you went to the
finished college and did studies beyond, but I have only one degree.
What college did you go to?
I went to Virginia State College in Petersburg.
Did a lot of African Americans go to college back then? Or?
Most of my friends did. Mm-hmm. Most of my friends went to school. In fact, during our senior year, several girls formed a club, and we called ourselves the Orange Blossom Sorors, and we used to go down to Addison was the old school where the administration building is now. Mm-hmm. And we used to go to, during lunchtime, we'd go down to the playground. And it was lined with orange blossoms, and that's where we got the idea, a name of Orange Blossom. Mm-hmm. And we stayed together that senior year. When we graduated from high school, we disbanded, and most of all of us went to college, went away to college. Mm-hmm. Maybe one or two stayed and got jobs in the city. And after we finished college, we came back to Roanoke and started this club again. And we now exist as Omnia Bona Club Incorporated.
Oh, wow.
So that club grew out of the high school gathering, and we're kind of proud of that.
Did anyone else in your family attend college?
My sister attended 1 year. And she became ill and had to come out of school and didn't go back.
Okay. Can you please describe your home life for us? For instance, did you gather around the radio in the evening, or maybe the first time you got a refrigerator or a telephone?
I do remember having an ice box to keep our foods refrigerated that sat on our back porch. And I don't know if you all know anything about an ice box or not, but the ice man would come through the neighborhood and sell blocks of ice, mm-hmm. and you could get 25 pounds or 50 pounds, that kind of thing. And I don't remember the year, the exact date or anything, but I do remember when we got our first refrigerator. That was a major, major thing for us. We had radio, and that was our at-home entertainment. I vaguely remember when we got our first black and white TV. I'm almost sure I was in college when we got our first TV. We didn't have telephone. We used, if we needed emergency calls, people knew to call us at a neighbor's house across the street. When I first started major dating after I graduated from college, my today's husband used to call me at the neighbor's house across the street. And then the everyday chores of keeping a house and those kinds of things we did on a routine basis.
Okay. Did you ever sit on the porch in the evening?
Sat on the porch a lot. Yes, we did. We certainly did. And earlier you asked me about having a job in high school. I didn't have a job, but we were like neighborhood errand people. Huh. I remember we lived on a hill, like, and the store, there was a grocery store at the foot of the hill. And I would go up and down that hill for family or neighbors or anybody, you know, anybody in the neighborhood. And in the earlier days, flour was like 5 cents a pound. Sugar ran something like 10 cents a pound, and we bought things by the pound. We could also keep an account at the grocery store, and my dad got paid once a month, and we would pay that bill off before we started another one. But we could get like the loaf of bread or the things that we call staple foods, mm-hmm. at the grocery store. And when we would go to the store, the neighbors would say thank you sometimes, and then sometimes they would say, you can keep the penny change or the nickel change, and that was like a really a great reward. Mm-hmm. So that was about as much work that we did. I did.
Okay. Did you, a spouse, a sibling, or children ever serve in the military?
My husband was in the military. Mm-hmm. He was in the Army, and he spent, all this happened before I married him. He spent a good time in the European theater. He was in World War II. He spent a good time in the European theater. When he went over, they were close to ending the war, and they just had to secure the place and see that it was kept secure.
So he's just like military police then?
Well, technically his job was in the he cooked.
Oh, okay.
He cooked.
Okay. Were there any businesses or shops that your family frequented a lot? I know you said the grocery store.
Yes, the grocery store. And then there were the stores on Henry Street. Mm-hmm. And we could walk to Henry Street, I guess, So I guess it was about seven blocks to Henry Street. And on Henry Street, there were places like, there was a drugstore. The my dentist was off Henry Street, but mm-hmm. I could walk to that. We had bus transportation, but we didn't use it because we were strong enough and healthy mm-hmm. enough to walk. And across, we would walk across Henry Street, cross a bridge, and we would be in the downtown area of Roanoke. And the downtown area of Roanoke at that time had department stores like Hieronymus and Pew and those places, and Woolworths, 5 and 10. The fountains were segregated, the bathrooms were segregated, and my mom instilled in us, take care of your private business before you go to town. Mm-hmm. Do not drink from the segregated fountain. Do not use the segregated bathroom. Go down there and do what you go to town for and come back home. And that's what we did. When we needed a dress for a special occasion, she would go with us. Mm-hmm. And we just went to the store, made the purchase, and came back to our side of town.
Okay. Do you recall any instances where, like, somebody used the wrong drinking fountain or anything?
I don't recall any of that. Mm-hmm. I think we were kind of sheltered, like, from it, because she just made a point, be sure you do not attempt to drink, mm-hmm. you know, from the fountain. Do not go to the bathroom. And we never had emergencies, because that was ingrained in us, you know. We mm-hmm. went to town. I'm sure there were incidents mm-hmm. that occurred, but when the integration process started, I guess I was in ready to go to college then, mm-hmm. and I don't remember the incidents that occurred to bring us through that.
What was it like after integration when there were no segregated stalls or anything? Was it surreal or?
Actually, the first time that I went to to the American Theater, and that was a segregated situation. Mm-hmm. I was just so disappointed, because when I walked in the part that I could really get into, that they had kept us out of, I was just shocked that you know, why couldn't I go in there? Mm-hmm. Because it was not that grandiose mm-hmm. or anything like that. I do remember going to the movies downtown and sitting in the balcony, mm-hmm. and they were not well kept, and there were little visitors there, little mice mm-hmm. that ran around, and because of that situation, we didn't go that often. We just stayed away from those things.
Okay. What was your fondest childhood memory? Like a favorite family vacation or a gift? Or
I guess my fondest memory, because my dad worked for the N&W, we could get free passes that allowed us to ride the train from Norfolk, Virginia to Cincinnati, Ohio. And in the summertime, that was almost like a routine thing. We would get on the train and either ride down to Norfolk, get out and spend the day mm-hmm. down there, or we would ride up to Cincinnati and get out and spend the day there, go to the zoo. Those are memorable mm-hmm. occasions to us. And my grandparents lived in Bluefield, West Virginia, and that we could ride the train to Bluefield. Mm-hmm. And in summertime, we would go there and spend some time with my grandparents. And those were fun days.
Now, you said you went to Cincinnati. That was desegregated. Was it a change to go from a segregation to a desegregation and then back to segregation?
Well, the things that we did, we just mm-hmm. we would concentrate on staying mostly around the train station, mm-hmm. have lunch. There was a zoo in Cincinnati. We always went to that zoo, and we didn't encounter any situations there. It was just fun mm-hmm. that I remember.
Okay. What kind of work have you done throughout your life?
Well, I was a teacher for 30 years. I retired in 1990. And since then, my husband is in the ministry now. He was not always in the ministry. He was not in the ministry when I married him. And we do visitations. Sick people, we visit sick people. I belong to a sorority, Alpha Kappa Alpha sorority. That was a sorority that I joined when I was in college. And we have community projects that I participate in. The group Omnia Bona Incorporated is somewhat like a sorority. It's a sisterhood. And we do community projects. And I spend time doing that. One of the after retirement projects that we did, we had a reading academy through the sorority, and we would go after school and help second and third graders with their reading problems. And that's about it, volunteer work. And I read a lot. I don't read as much now as I used to because I have had one cataract removed, and I need to have the other one removed, and I haven't had that done yet. So I don't read quite as much as I used to.
Did you ever use the public library?
Yes, I did. when we were growing up, we used the Gainsborough Library. Mm-hmm. And it was always a treat to go to the Gainsborough Library. The Virginia Y. Lee, the lady who was responsible for getting the Gainsborough Library started, was the librarian, and she was very kind to us when we would come in. And I, on occasion, do use the library downtown. I have two grandchildren that excite me. Their activities now are sort of like anything that they're in. I try to be involved in that. The boy is 20, and in fact, he was 20 yesterday. He goes to school at North Carolina Central, and he plays baseball for them. They're not doing too well right now. The granddaughter is 16, and she's a junior in high school, and she's passionate about dance. She dances competitively. And whenever I can, I go to North Carolina to become involved in either her recitals or the boys' activities in school.
Okay. Do you remember who some of the strong community leaders were and what role they played in the civil rights movement or just any time in Roanoke?
Well, I know Reverend Wilkerson was instrumental in, he was very much involved in the integration role. Reverend Taylor, he was mayor of Roanoke. He was involved in community activities, and my husband is a member of his church, and I became involved in a lot of activities that were going on at High Street. My husband also has his church in Fincastle, Virginia. And he pastors there on two Sundays, and then we administer to the congregation by visiting them. There was a lawyer in Roanoke, Reuben Lawson. He was instrumental in the integration process. I always looked up to my teachers. My teachers were sort of like my role models. They were good. They were they were caring. They taught character building as well as education, and that impressed me a lot. My teachers impressed me a lot.
Did you try to carry a lot of that over when you became a teacher?
I think I did. Mm-hmm. I think I did. I tried to show concern for my students, and I was a pretty strong disciplinarian. And I think I picked all of that up from the teachers that I had before me. And then several of the female teachers that I had were members of Alpha Kappa Alpha sorority, and that influenced my going into that sorority. As well as my sister, she the year that she was in school, she was in the Pledge Club, and she had pledged the Ivy Leaf Club, which was the... It's different today. You stayed in the Pledge Club before you could go into the sorority at that time. So those were my influences in going into the sorority.
Okay. Can you describe any cultural events that happened in Roanoke? Like for entertainers that came, like big names or...
Mahalia Jackson came to Roanoke. Cab Calloway came to Roanoke. Can't think of the man's name. He sang Lordy, Lordy, Miss Claudy. And I know you all don't know anything about that song. And he played a guitar. I could just see him running across that stage. I could not go to places to see things like that until after I went to college. But I do remember we had Mahalia Jackson in the Valley View Mall. She performed there. The other people that come to mind, I saw those people after I graduated college in Greensboro, North Carolina. Thinking about Roanoke. Can't think of anybody else right now.
Okay. What were some of the biggest changes that you've seen to the city of Roanoke and the culture of Roanoke over the years?
I think the major change in Roanoke has been like the redeveloping area. The part of Gainsborough that I grew up in is no longer there. They hewed the hill that I lived on. They leveled that. And today, in that general area, there are some industries. There's a hotel, motel. The Orange Avenue Family Center was there. It was where it is now, so that's still there. The section before you get to the Catholic Church and that area, all of that has been leveled, and there are some new small homes there because when they leveled the street that I lived on, my dad was able to get a grant, and he rebuilt on another street in that same area. So I think the redeveloping areas were the major things that changed Roanoke. And then the downtown area is nothing like it was when I was growing up. You know, the malls came, mm-hmm. and all the businesses moved out to the malls, the stores moved out to the malls. And the way downtown is now is much different than it was when I was growing up.
Okay. Do you remember the closing of the silk mills and at all?
Vaguely, very vaguely.
Okay. And you said most of the jobs available for men and women in Roanoke were service-oriented before
Integration, yes, yes. The Norfolk and Western was the main employment for people of color. and the Veterans Hospital in Salem.
Okay. Is there anything else that we didn't cover that you would like to share with us today?
I can't think of anything else. I think that about covers it.
Well, thank you so much for your time.
You're quite welcome.